Section 3. Recent Trends in the North Carolina Economy. As you read, look for Reasons for the Decline in Textiles, Furniture, and Tobacco. New Trends in Business, Technology, and Farming. How North Carolinians are adapting to the global economy. Methods for measuring the economy. And the following terms: Globalization, No-Till Farming, Great Recession, Gross Domestic Product, GDP, Consumer Price Index, CPI, Inflation, and Unemployment. North Carolinians saw great change impact their state in the early part of the 21st century, particularly to their economy. For decades, most citizens of the state had depended on particular types of jobs being available in almost every community. All of that began to change during the 1990s, and the trend accelerated into the 2010s. One change was common almost everywhere. The state's manufacturing base all but went away. The cause was often competition with foreign markets, where goods could be made cheaper. The hardest hit by globalization, the development of an increasingly worldwide economy marked by free trade and reliance on cheaper foreign labor, were what generations of state residents called the Big Three: textiles, furniture, and tobacco. The decline of the Big Three. Places where textiles had been the chief means of employment, like Mooresville in southern Iredell County, had one closing after another. Giant companies like Burlington Industries, which made rayon fabric, and Cannon Mills, a world leader in making towels and sheets, all but disappeared. Only a few older companies like Glen Raven in Burlington and McCrary in Asheboro still operated, often turning to new non-woven fabrics to save costs. Furniture making lost half its market share to Asian competitors, but the Bernhardt family in Lenoir and the Shuford family in Hickory continued to profit with their high-quality chairs and sofas. Despite competition from Las Vegas, Nevada, the city of High Point continued to be one of the largest furniture markets in the world, with more than 100,000 buyers a year attending its shows. Although smoking rates declined in the United States, North Carolina continued to be a world leader in the manufacture of tobacco products. Reynolds American in Winston-Salem and Lorillard in Greensboro upgraded their machinery and continued their growth in Asian markets, often, ironically, selling to the very workers who had taken away North Carolina jobs in textiles. The rise of innovative businesses and technology. During the same period, many outsiders liked North Carolina enough to locate their innovative businesses here. Ashley Furniture, the country's largest maker of chairs and tables, built a large computerized complex near Advance in Davie County. Honda, the Japanese automobile maker, started a plant in Greensboro to make airplane engines using the latest in robotic methods. In each case, hundreds of workers came from more than half a dozen countries to work every day and had some of the highest industrial wages in the state. The most visible new jobs in the state are those offered by famous technology companies, all of which have a global connection. Google has a cloud-based server in the small town of Colletsville in Caldwell County. Facebook stores billions of pages at its Forest City facility. Apple has a digital storage operation in Maiden in Catawba County. Lenovo, a Chinese company, has a large facility near Morrisville in Wake County. Cisco Systems, maker of software, had done well with branches in the Charlotte and Raleigh areas. New trends in farming. The number of farmers across the state has decreased, but the 50,000 who stuck with the land survived by changing their mix of crops. Folks who still grew tobacco also rotated soybeans, corn, and sometimes cotton to diversify their income. Many farmers across the state, like Rowan County's Daryl Corriher, a graduate of Duke University, use no-till farming to cut down on costs, minimize soil erosion, and get a better yield. In no-till farming, planting is done right through the residue of previous plantings and weeds with a device that cuts a small slot, followed by equipment that places seeds in the slot and closes it. Nearby, Michelle Patterson and her family hired documented workers from Central American countries to pick their hundreds of acres of strawberries and tomatoes. Packages marked Patterson Farms are found in Food Lion stores across the southeastern states. Down east, hundreds of farm families have turned to large-scale pork production. A farmer at the base of Cold Mountain, near Waynesville, makes money by growing rhubarb for an Asheville restaurant. Farm to table is a growing trend in North Carolina, wherein restaurants supply their menus with food items that are grown locally. Special feature, Carolina Progress, the state of non-woven possibilities. Sometimes to make something grow, you have to prune it. In other words, you cut back the excess in order to get the best possible return. This idea works for plants, both the kind that grow in nature and the kind that people build in places called factories. This has been true in North Carolina in your lifetime. Where old things like tobacco farming have been trimmed to their bases, they have often staged comebacks, making money for their owners and providing wages for their workers. The same is true for some of our factories. This idea is particularly the case for one of the fastest growing areas of the North Carolina economy, nonwoven fabrics. Nonwovens consist of tiny fibers, some made from natural substances like bamboo, others made from synthetic materials like polymers, which are spread out in an ultra-thin layer, then glued together. The result is a very stretchable material that holds things in a remarkable way. Nonwovens can be thick or thin, impermeable, meaning nothing can get through them without a strong poke, or porous, meaning that air or liquid can seep through their ultra-tiny holes. In the early 2000s, North Carolina joined a worldwide movement to make packaging, coatings, and protective devices out of nonwovens. North Carolinians encounter nonwovens when they see doctors and nurses at our medical centers, like Durham, wearing very flexible masks made in our state. They also buy food packaged in nonwovens, like the sticky rice that sells in Middle Eastern and Asian stores on Central Avenue in Charlotte. They also ride by such materials on our new highways. Geotextiles are often in the fabric put on hillsides and in roadside ditches to slow erosion. Nonwovens have helped the North Carolina economy rebound from some of its recent manufacturing losses. More than 20 cities in the state have returned to these textiles to restore their economic base. In the 2010s, the biggest concentration was in smaller towns north of Charlotte, like Statesville, Thomasville, and Conover. Some of these companies made ultra-light and super-strong materials used by another of our state's industries, furniture. Increasingly, the foam inside cushions is wrapped in a porous nonwoven, which allows the cushion to breathe and last longer. This saves money for consumers, allowing them to supply their needs, and makes money for producers. Money in the bank is something all North Carolinians have as a want as the state goes through the current transition in its economy. What has made our state a star in this new industry has been the work done at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. It established the Nonwovens Institute, NWI, to train people from across the state in the new technologies needed to produce the fabric. Its founder is one of the world-renowned residents of our state. Iranian-born Benim Pordaimi has been so successful that in 2015, the university erected a new building for the NWI on its state-of-the-art Centennial campus. More than 60 private companies support the venture. NC State is the place to be when it comes to nonwovens, said one visitor. Dr. Pordaimi is touching everybody and everything every day. This includes the newcomers who came with the German company that relocated to Durham, and the displaced cotton mill workers, all natives to our state, who have found new kinds of jobs. The global presence of the NWI, although something very new in the state, nevertheless has a historical basis and proves the point about pruning. The older school of textiles, which had been devoted to weaving technology for more than a century, was its original home, showing that a state and its schools can bring together needs and wants in a powerful, positive way and build futures for its citizens. Section 3, Continued. Adapting to a Changing Economy. As you will learn in the rest of this book, when new kinds of economic habits appear in our state, needs and wants often take a beating for some people for some time. More than 250,000 North Carolinians lost factory jobs in the early 2000s, and often they were not able to find similar factory jobs elsewhere. For some years during the Great Recession, the sharp decline in economic activity between 2008 and 2013, which is generally considered the largest downturn since the Great Depression, the state's community colleges were strained to provide enough job retraining to help former factory workers find new kinds of employment. Just as in the past, newcomers to North Carolina want a better living for themselves and their families. Immigration to the state has both helped and hurt this employment picture, depending upon the location. Immigrants make up the majority of the job holders in some places, like the largest pork processing plant in Sampson County. State leaders, however, have found that places with large numbers of outside immigrants improve the local economies at a faster rate than places where there is little immigration. Sometimes, the jobs of the last two decades have seemed to come and go at a rapid pace. For example, an international marketer of bananas brought its headquarters to Charlotte, but left a few years later. One of the uncertainties of the present is the constant shifting of who will get hired and where across the state. Although change seems more rapid than ever before, this history of our state will suggest that North Carolinians have always been adaptable to change, even if they are cautious about doing it. In future chapters, you will learn about how our heritage has helped us in altering our habits in a host of ways. Measuring the economy. Economists gather information to measure an economy's strength by using a variety of economic indicators. In turn, businesses, individuals, and the government use the information from economic indicators to make better economic decisions. One of the most important economic indicators is the gross domestic product, GDP. It measures the total value of the final goods and services produced in the United States in a certain time period, usually 1 year. The Consumer Price Index, CPI, is an economic indicator that measures prices. Each month, the prices of goods and services are checked to see if they rose or fell in comparison to previous months. When the CPI shows that prices are rising steadily, this indicates inflation, a continual increase in the price of goods and services. In this situation, price increases mean a buyer can afford less with the same amount of money. If wages do not increase at a level to keep up with inflation, a consumer's spending power goes down even further. The unemployment rate is another very important economic indicator. A person is described as unemployed if he or she does not have a job but has been actively looking for work in the previous 4 weeks and is currently available for work. Each month, a government report shows the percentage of people who are out of work and are looking for jobs. If the supply of jobs is low, workers are often willing to accept lower pay in order to have a job. If unemployment rates are low, businesses will have to pay a higher wage because the supply of available workers is smaller.